Zechariah chapter 13, verses 7 through 9. This is the word of the Lord. Awake, O sword, against my shepherd, against the man who stands next to me, declares the Lord of hosts. Strike the shepherd, and the sheep will be scattered. I will turn my hand against the little ones. And the whole land, declares the Lord, two-thirds shall be cut off and perish, and one-third shall be left alive. And I will put this third into the fire and refine them as one refines silver and test them as gold is tested. They will call upon my name and I will answer them. I will say, they are my people. And they will say, the Lord is my God. The word of the Lord. One of the great themes in the second half of Zechariah is that of the shepherd and the sheep. In Zechariah chapter 10, verse 3, we hear of the Lord's anger against the shepherds of his people. And in chapter 11, verse 5, we understand why he is angry with them. Because they have no pity on the sheep, because they use the sheep for their own advantage. So utterly worthless are the shepherds of the people that in chapter 10, verse 2, it is as though the people had no shepherds at all. Therefore, the people wander like sheep. They are afflicted for lack of a shepherd. But as we read Zechariah, we are reminded that the people are not ultimately without a shepherd. That though their leaders fail, that though those who ought to be their shepherds have no pity on them, there is still one who is faithful. There is still one who does have compassion on them. In Zechariah chapter 10, verse 6, it is the Lord. It is the Lord who is the shepherd of his people. The Lord is their shepherd. I will strengthen the house of Judah. I will save the house of Joseph. I will bring them back because I have compassion on them, for I am the Lord their God. The Lord is the great shepherd of his people. The Lord is the faithful shepherd of his people. When all others fail, the Lord does not fail. And what does the faithful shepherd do? lays down his life for the sheep. And so we read in Zechariah chapter 11 of the Lord's purpose to shepherd the flock doomed to slaughter. And in Zechariah chapter 12, we read what that will require of him, what that will cost him. For the Lord to become shepherd of the flock doomed to slaughter, the Lord must himself be led to that same slaughter. In Zechariah chapter 12, we read that the Lord himself will be pierced for his people. In Zechariah chapter 12, we read that the shepherd identifies himself with the sheep, that the shepherd suffers the fate of the sheep, that the shepherd becomes one of the sheep, that he might be wounded for their transgressions, that he might be crushed for their iniquities. The shepherd suffers the fate of the sheep. The shepherd suffers as a sheep. The shepherd suffers for the sheep. So the Lord suffers the fate of his people. So the Lord suffers in the likeness of his people. So the Lord suffers for his people, that you might be free. That you might belong to him. That he might be your God. That you might be his people. In Zechariah chapter 13, verse 7, we hear again of this great theme and of God's purpose in it. In Zechariah chapter 13, verse 7, we hear, "Awake, O sword, against my shepherd, against the man who stands next to me, declares the Lord of hosts." In Zechariah chapter 13, verse 7, we are confronted again with that great mystery in the Old Testament, a mystery that is beyond comprehension, a mystery that is not resolved until the revelation of Jesus Christ. In chapter 12, it is God himself who is pierced for his people. It is God himself who is the great shepherd of the sheep. But in chapter 13, that shepherd is also revealed to be a man, to be one like us in every respect. The sword that pierces the Lord in chapter 12, it is the same sword that is awakened against this man in chapter 13. Who is this man? He is identified as the man who stands next to the Lord. Or if we translate that somewhat more literally, the man of the Lord's community, the man of the Lord's fellowship. Who is this man? He is the man who has fellowship with the Lord. Who is this man? He is the man who has communion with the Lord. If he has fellowship with the Lord, if he has communion with the Lord, if he stands next to the Lord, he must be a righteous man. He must be a faithful shepherd. What may we say but that in Zechariah chapter 13, verse 7, we are confronted with the mystery of Christ? The shepherd who suffers for his people. He is both God and man. And concerning this, there is no doubt. For Jesus, the Word who was with God, the Word who was God, the Word that became flesh and dwelt among us, Jesus applies this very passage to himself on the night of his betrayal, on the night of his arrest, on that night before he would be condemned as a sheep to the slaughter. In Zechariah chapter 13, verse 7, we read of God's purpose to save his people through his faithful shepherd, the man of his fellowship, the man Jesus Christ, who is the Lord Jesus Christ. The awakening of the sword against him. It is the awakening of God's judgment. A judgment that belongs to the sheep. A judgment that belonged to you. And a judgment that instead falls upon the shepherd. The striking of the shepherd, it is the stroke of God's justice. The striking of the shepherd is the satisfaction of God's justice. What does it bring? It brings the scattering of the sheep. It brings the cutting off of God's people. But that is not all. For though all God's people are scattered, not all are cut off. A remnant is spared. Though most perish, a remnant is left alive. A remnant that will be refined. A remnant that will be tested. A remnant that will be saved. a remnant that will call upon the name of the Lord, a remnant that will be answered by the Lord when they call. To them the Lord will say, "These are my people." A remnant who will then respond, "The Lord is my God." This is the fulfillment of that great promise of God in Scripture, to take a people for Himself, that He might be their God, that they might be His people, that you might have fellowship with Him, that you might have communion with Him. This He has accomplished through the striking of your shepherd, through the death of His Son. The death of the shepherd it is the salvation of the sheep. The death of the faithful for the unfaithful. The death of the righteous for the unrighteous. The one who had communion with God is cut off from God for your sake. On account of His death, the sheep are scattered. But that is not the end of the story. The gospel concerns not only the death of Christ, but also the resurrection of Christ. He is raised. He is raised that He might gather to Himself those sheep that were scattered. He is raised that He might call you to Himself, that in Him you might have communion with God, that in Him you might have fellowship with God. That God might be your God, that you might be His people. In Mark chapter 14, verse 27, Jesus says to His disciples, "You will all fall away, for it is written, 'I will strike the shepherd, and the sheep will be scattered.' But after I am raised up, I will go before you to Galilee." Jesus dies for the sheep. And He is raised to gather the sheep who were scattered. Those sheep who wandered for lack of a shepherd. But why does Jesus say in Mark chapter 14, "I will go before you to Galilee"? At As Jesus speaks of the fulfillment of Zechariah chapter 13, why does He say to His disciples that after He is raised, He will go before them to Galilee? Perhaps you will remember the reason from our time in Mark. But if you are not here, or if you have forgotten, remember that Galilee was where Jesus' ministry began. Mark chapter 1, verse 14, Jesus came into Galilee proclaiming the gospel of God and saying, "The time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand." Why would Jesus gather His disciples together at the beginning, after He Himself has reached the end? After Jesus is raised from the dead, why would He then return to the beginning? Why would He gather His sheep together to Himself at the beginning? This too is in fulfillment of Zechariah chapter 13. After Jesus reaches the end, He gathers a remnant to Himself at the beginning. Why? That they may be conformed to His image. That they may be conformed to their shepherd. That they may be conformed to their Lord, the one who suffered for them unto glory. And so it is that we read in Zechariah chapter 13 that His sheep are put into the fire. And so it is that we read that this remnant of God's grace is put into the fire to share in the sufferings of Christ, that you may also share in the glory of Christ. You are put into the fire that you may be refined. You are put into the fire that you may become holy. You are put into the fire that you may be tested. You are put into the fire that you may be found faithful. It is God's purpose that His church, that His people be refined, be tested by fire. That you may pass through that fire and bear the glorious image of Christ. That you may bear the image of the Righteous One. That you may bear the image of the Faithful One. That you may bear the image of that one whose fellowship is with God. And so it will be. And so it will be with you who have called upon the name of the Lord. So it will be with you who have called upon the name of Jesus. If this world hated him, they will hate you who belong to him. They will hate you who call upon his name. But after you have suffered a little while, after you have been refined, after you have been tested, the Lord at last will say to you, face to face, "You are my people. And you, beholding him on that day, will say, 'You are my God.'" Thanks be to God for his grace to us in Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us pray.